This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake. You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, a preview of WWE Tables, Ladders, and Chairs, plus some discussion of Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens, and what's making us happy in wrestling this week. So Jake, this Sunday, there's a pay-per-view afoot, and it's the WWE Tables, Ladders, and Chairs pay-per-view, and as opposed to spreading the talent out in a bunch of non-compelling gimmick matches, WWE has kept the gimmick matches down to one and just crammed every wrestler they could think of into it. I think some of these guys got in here because Vince McMahon put on WWE 2K18, hit the random button, and was like, huh, looks like we're booking Kane. Someone get Kane.
Yeah, like, why do you need to gimmick the shit out of a gimmick match? You know what I mean? Like, it's not only are we going to get the Shield reunion, but they're going to be in a TLC match. And, oh, it's going to be a handicap TLC match. And, oh, it's an extra handicap TLC match. It just seemed like way too much. I don't understand why you need the extra competitors in that match, unless we're supposed to believe that the Shield is just so dominant and so, you know, strong that it takes five men to beat them, and especially when one of the men is Braun Strowman, who has shown the capacity to beat all three of them in various times on his own. So it's a strange way to go about booking it. Is the Kane and Strowman kind of relationship is what are they going to do with that? Like, I'm just having nightmares about a potential Kane versus Strowman feud down the road that's going to put us all to sleep.
I figured they'd make them tag champs pretty quickly. Shades of the Big Show and a Kane tag team from 2006 that everyone was bored of. But I tend to agree with Jason Powell when he said, I think I mentioned this on last week's show as well, as we talked about the Shield reunion, this match is more compelling if it's just Strowman, Cesaro, and Sheamus against the Shield. And I believe that with Braun, with The Miz in there, and I believe it with Kane in there. They aren't necessary. They are not needed, and it actually makes it a weaker match when you add all those guys. And part of me just doesn't think, I guess, and I hope I'm wrong here. I hope on Sunday I'm proven very wrong. Part of me looks at the wrestlers in this match and goes, they aren't planning on giving us the Shield match. They aren't planning on giving us that big chaotic match. This is going to be more structured. This isn't going to be quite as fun as things were. And then when I go down that road, I start thinking maybe Seth Rollins isn't going to bleach a patch of his hair and this is all going to be worthless.
Is that the moment you know it's real? Is when he comes out with the yellow or the blonde streak in his hair?
Since they did the full entrance on Raw, now I'm just waiting for Seth Rollins with the blonde streak. That's all I need to get. Like, I've got a bingo card here, and I'm just waiting on Seth Rollins' blonde streak.
If they get all the way to Christmas with the Shield together, can they just not do Santa this year and just have the Shield actually put things in their pockets to hand out to people?
Roman Reigns walking down the aisle handing out candy canes. Just like, sup, baby girl.
There.
Got you some candy canes.
Glow sticks. I don't care. Whatever you want.
Some DX glow sticks. Shawn Michaels is like, you know, I make $20 off of each one of those they sell. Just sitting backstage like, yeah, way to go, fellas.
Making money without even doing anything.
That's the DX way.
Clearly. I mean, their last run was basically just a marketing tour.
Yeah, it was a scheme to sell glow sticks, and I think it worked really, really well. But let's go through TLC, and I want to speed through this because I don't particularly care to talk about most of this show. You talked about this show extensively with Jason Powell and .NET Weekly, which, hey, folks, get some .NET membership if you want to hear Jake and Jason give a real proper preview of this. But I'm going to give you three words about each match. And in that, I expect to hear a winner and your general feelings. And I will tell you that we'll talk about the Jacko Balor after this. So Alicia Fox and Sasha Banks.
Banks wins. It's gonna be horrible.
You're really bad at the three word gimmick.
I don't have three words to describe it. I just don't.
Banks wins. Alexa Bliss and Mickie James.
James wins.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'll go with Alexa wins. But I wouldn't count out a Mickey win. That's an interesting one to me, and hopefully this feud continues and doesn't just keep calling Mickey old for no reason.
Yeah, Jason and I kind of talked about it for a few minutes on .NET Weekly. I think there's a plausible reason to, you know, to have either of them win, but I like the idea of James being a transitional champion for Asuka.
I'll give my Asuka versus Emma one. Asuka kills Emma.
I think we're on the same page there.
Yeah, that one's probably the easiest. Kalisto and Enzo Amore.
Please go away.
I completely agree there. I think Kalisto wins. I really don't care. The cruiserweights are a bunch of really good wrestlers stuck in a division with that I think might be being booked by Road Dogg as well. If I can, you know, be honest, I think it's that bad.
I think it might have been a feel good win for Kalisto that was unexpected because of the Neville situation. It just kind of switched up their booking plan. But I have a feeling Enzo may recapture the championship here.
Speaking of cruiserweights, Brian Kendrick and Jack Gallagher versus Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann. I think Cedric Alexander and Rich Swann win and should just move to the damn tag division.
I agree. I like them both as a team. I think they could compete in the heavyweight tag division without anybody really batting an eye at it. Although, they've went out way out of their way to establish Gallagher and Kendrick as a heel team that is kind of getting some traction. So maybe just for the sake of continuing the feud, they may let them win this one.
Move them all to the tag division.
Yeah, I could go with that.
Yeah, I actually am just going to pick the cruiserweight roster up because it's light enough and move it mostly to the tag division. And we're going to have some really freaking good tag matches. So, all right. Jake, why is Finn Balor a pumpkin now?
I have no explanation for that. They spent 2 weeks with Balor calling out Bray Wyatt for being silly and said he didn't believe any of his spooky nonsense. And then the last week for the go home, he just decides now the way to fight back against Bray's paranormal, whatever, is to dress up like a pumpkin. It's the weirdest angle I can remember in recent history. I have no idea why they're killing a very marketable character in Finn Balor this way. It's just a shame.
It's weird. I have to spend the next week of my life. Generally the next week as people listen to this, or maybe the next 2 weeks, watching The Nightmare Before Christmas as I take it to Atlanta and Boston for the orchestras in those towns to play along
fantastic.
With the movie.
The Nightmare Before Christmas is fantastic.
Yeah. That's a pretty awesome pumpkin king there that Jack Skellington is. And what exactly is Finn Balor supposed to be? I remember him being the Demon King, but he can't be the Pumpkin King unless he's going to actually come out to the Danny Elfman score of Nightmare Before Christmas, which I should say, I'm about. He can do that.
But if they want to pay for it, that would be an interesting way to fight back against people just hating this thing to death. But I don't know. I think it's close enough to Halloween and they just figured, hey, let's throw him a bone. I have no idea.
Who wins this really weird match between suddenly female Bray Wyatt in a veil and suddenly a pumpkin Finn Balor with face paint?
That's an interesting question about whether or not this match will happen. I think Bray Wyatt was rumored to be one of the people that may be affected by meningitis on the Raw roster. So I do not know. We'll find out. But, you know, I don't know how veracious or true that rumor is. But
I might not get my nightmare.
If it does happen, I'm going to predict Bray Wyatt will win because they need this feud to continue. And as horrible as it is, I think that's the truth.
They need this feud to continue. No one needs this feud to continue.
Well, I think it's just part of their plan for the next 6 weeks until they get past Survivor Series. Unfortunately.
Are they each going to bring out, like, is Bray Wyatt going to bring out some other wrestlers dressed up as Sister Abigail while Finn Balor spends a whole day painting other wrestlers' faces backstage, hoping that they can be demons too?
Team Wyatt versus Team Balor at Survivor Series would be one of the weirdest gimmick matches we've ever seen.
All right. Finally, The Shield. They're reunited, and hopefully will have a blonde streak against Miz, Strowman, Kane, Cesaro, and Sheamus. Who wins this? I look at the five-man team and I think, well, maybe the Shield recruits two more guys and they go into Survivor Series and they do this, they do a big Survivor Series match. But I also look at this and go, huh? Maybe they do just want to show that the Shield is that unbeatable.
Yeah, that was that's the hard part to sort of decide. Like, I think the right thing to do would be to have the heels win, because you have Sheamus and Cesaro, who they just beat clean on Monday, and Braun Strowman, who really shouldn't be losing a lot of matches, period, if you want to keep the mystique around him as a monster.
And he did just lose in the main event of the last pay-per-view in the worst match of his career.
Yeah, exactly. Lesnar did not deliver with him in the ring. So that was a shame. And so, you feel like, well, you kind of have to have them go over, don't you? I mean, even if... But then there's the other part of your brain that's like, well, the Miz could very easily take a pin here. Kane is just kind of appeared out of nowhere. They could have brought him in specifically to take a pin. You know, it's like there's just a lot of opportunities for this to go the way of the Shield. And I guess maybe the smart prediction would be a big returning faction like the Shield probably doesn't lose their first pay-per-view match. And so I guess you have to pick them, but it feels wrong in a lot of ways.
That's exactly why I'm picking the Shield, is I just don't believe that WWE will have those guys lose their first pay-per-view match for United. I sort of wonder if this is the only time we get a classic Shield six man, or I guess three on five tag match. I don't know that we may get a Survivor Series match from them, but I don't know that we get something beyond Survivor Series. And definitely, I would guess not beyond the December pay-per-view, since they've got to send Roman Reigns off to win the Royal Rumble and make us all kind of sad about a WrestleMania main event, which is actually an annual tradition now. I will go with the Shield, though. I think they wouldn't want to get rid of putting those guys together.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what's going to happen, how long they plan on keeping these guys together. Like, would a breakup make the most sense in the Royal Rumble? Like, how does that fit together? Because, they kind of tipped their hat, or at least put it out there this week, that, the John Cena Jinder Mahal WrestleMania match could potentially be on the table. And if so,
burn this WrestleMania to the ground.
Yeah,
I'm done with it. I'm done with this WrestleMania already. Reigns and Lesnar on top. And right next to it, you got Cena and Mahal. What am I doing on April 7th? I think I might make some plans.
You could do some basket weaving and have a more interesting time. But during those two matches anyway. But yeah. I honestly don't know who, does Roman really need the Royal Rumble victory to go after Lesnar? And does Cena really need a Royal Rumble victory to go after Mahal? Like, it's kind of a coin toss. Like, it kind of looks like it would be one of those two at this point.
I'm weirdly here for a John Cena Royal Rumble win. We don't really need it. He doesn't need it, for God's sakes. But I'm more about that than a Reigns win. I have no idea why, really. And it could also, if they did Cena last eliminates Roman in the Rumble, then Cena getting his win back, too. That's crafty right there. That's some long-term booking.
Yeah, because then you got, next year's WrestleMania will be Cena and Reigns
again
for a unified championship or something.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Don't forget about WWE TLC happening this Sunday night. You can get live coverage of TLC on ProWrestling.net from Jason Powell, and ProWrestling.net members will enjoy an exclusive audio review of the show with Jason and Jake Barnett breaking down all the action. You can become a .NET member for as low as $5.50 a month if you take the annual option, or $7.50 a month if you just want to try it out, see what it's like. Along with those audio reviews, you will also get ad-free access to the site and exclusive access to all of our audio archives. It's a great deal, and we hope you'll check it out. ProWrestling.net membership. So let's move on as we kind of transition away from TLC, because that show kind of sucks. On paper, at least, I don't have a lot of confidence. Jake, something I do have confidence in increasingly is bad guy Sami Zayn. What a jerk this guy is, coming out there insulting Daniel Bryan in his hometown, bringing the heat and the thunder with insults, and making his dance to the ring look extra heelish somehow. I have always liked the performer that Sami Zayn is, but I am finding myself more and more like, wow, this guy is a great heel.
So I guess the one thing about that segment that I'm like, you know, it probably isn't nearly as much of a roller coaster as it would be if Brian hadn't got that just crazy reaction from his hometown crowd. Like, it was just a perfect segment for, you know, and being in the right place at the right time just to get maximum sympathy from a babyface who, I don't know if there's even anybody else on the roster on SmackDown that would be able to do that like Brian could, you know,
maybe with Tyler Breeze.
Yeah, maybe close number two. But, you know, Owens and Zayn going after Brian for his, you know, and taking pot shots at him because of his inability to wrestle because of his, you know, injuries and retirement, and doing so in Seattle in front of a crowd that had just basically blown the roof off for him. It was, I mean, it couldn't have gone any better. And that's not to take away anything from Zayn or Owens. I mean, they gave really great smarmy performances. It's just, you know, they really had a perfect storm of elements there to make that segment a huge success. And I think it paid off at the end of the show where they had the heels cheat to win. And I think that crowd was ready to boo them at that point, and they did. So it really worked well. I think the only applause or cheering we got for Sammy and Kevin was when they decided to goof off at the end of the show with their hug routine, which was pretty funny.
How much do you want Kevin Owens to ask you to hug him like he asked Sammy to? Because I'm at like a 10 out of 10 on that. If that were a WWE fan access experience, I would buy the VIP package, wait in the line, and get that hug.
I couldn't even imagine like how much they'd have to pay Kevin Owens to have like a come hug Kevin Owens promo event. It would just be the worst day of his life.
It would depend if they were like, hey, we'll double your video game bonus. Maybe he's like, hey, all the hugs, y'all. This is what I'm about.
More zeros on that check, please.
Yeah.
That's all there is there. But a fantastic show from both of those guys. I mean, not only the opening segment, but they had a great match with Orton and Nakamura. And I think they...
How cool was it to see... sorry, this is Markish. I will give you that. I'm about to sound like a nerd, but Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn tag teaming. Like, for the first time since they've been Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. I was smiling, like, ear to ear. I couldn't help it.
I mean, I was really surprised to see, you know, Orton and Nakamura give them so much. They were the whole, you know, I guess that whole match was really engineered around getting those two heat. And I think it was great. I mean, it worked, you know, all the way around. So all four of them deserve credit for that. And especially Owens and Zayn, who have, you know, delivered, you know, at every step of the way since the Hell in a Cell pay-per-view. So I'm really looking forward to them carrying the SmackDown show, you know, because there's going to be a long lull here. You know, they haven't post Hell in a Cell. I think it's 6 or 7 weeks until SmackDown gets to Survivor Series, and they're not going to be able to have, you know, major pay-per-view matches in between here and there. So I think Owens and Zayn are going to be, you know, the people that are kind of relied upon to make TV interesting until they get to their own SmackDown pay-per-view another 7 weeks from now.
Yeah, they do have to do something to make those guys interesting. What do you think the future is for them? You got Shane McMahon coming back. I sort of wonder if at Survivor Series we either get some sort of team, Zayn and Owens, like, and three guys maybe against Shane and AJ Styles in some sort of match, or if I would actually be all together here for an AJ Styles and Kevin or AJ Styles and Shane McMahon against Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn tag match. That to me would be a very, very fun matchup of that shows what they're doing on SmackDown right now.
I still kind of think we're going to get that Raw versus SmackDown, you know, Survivor Series match. And I think the story on SmackDown is going to be Shane being forced to recruit those two to be a part of his team. And then, you know, having to rely on them at the Survivor Series show with some level of stakes being, you know, on the table between the GMs of those shows. And that's sort of the main event, you know. Like, there's a lot of storylines that would fit into, you know, you're going to have the Shield probably on the Raw side, and you're going to have Owens and Zayn on the SmackDown side, and you know, you have to add people to those teams and have those chemistries work, and which one is actually going to be able to keep it together to win for their respective brands. I think that's kind of the way this Survivor Series is shaping up.
Nothing brings wrestlers together like red and blue t-shirts. You give them a blue t-shirt and they will die for their blue team, damn it.
Oh yeah, I mean it's just, you know, you put on that thin piece of cotton and you just get inspired.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially if it's a WWE one, it feels like sandpaper. You just can't help it. Yeah, I think that's an interesting idea, especially with the recruitment and, you know, some sort of bets between them. Maybe like loser gets Jinder Mahal for another 2 months or something like that. That to me, I'd absolutely want SmackDown to win that match then. But yeah, I look at what Owens and Zayn are doing, and I look at like the Shield reunion happening. They're really fun. It's cool stuff. Jake, I can't help but feel that's really the two exciting things happening in WWE right now. And across, across what will in the coming week be like 11 hours of first run TV programming or something like that. I wish there were a little more excitement.
Are you not excited for Brock Lesnar responding to Jinder Mahal's challenge on Monday?
If Brock Lesnar's response to Jinder Mahal were just him playing the clip of him murdering 3MB member Jinder Mahal and being like, no, we don't do that. And then challenging an actual good professional wrestler. Yeah, no, I'd be excited for it. But at the moment, no. No, I can't say I'm psyched about Lazy Suplex Man and Lazy Racist Indian Man fighting at Survivor Series.
I just don't understand the. I mean, clearly this is a Vince thing, but like, where like does he imagine this going? Like, what do you think is going to happen when those two get in the ring together? Like, I guess you know Brock has you know a certain amount of cachet that he still carries around with him just because of his reputation. But like, does anybody honestly believe that this is going to be a draw? Like, what is you know Jinder has one gear on the microphone and it's not going to be that effective at selling a match with Brock Lesnar, and I don't believe anybody thinks it's going to be a great match. I mean, you kind of encapsulated what's wrong with Lesnar, at least in his, you know, in recent history with Lazy Suplex Man. I mean, he's got kind of one note in the ring, and it's you know Germans and F and the F5, and you know Jinder might even have less than that. So it's really bizarre why you would put that you know as a main event on one of the big four shows. Although Survivor Series barely seems to fit that mold anymore.
Weirdly, I'm going to say I was more excited for Goldberg versus Brock Lesnar, a program I was absolutely against and remain against. I still think it was, is, and will always be a very bad idea. But Jake,
you want to hear a really hot take around Lesnar versus Goldberg?
Ooh, give me that hot take.
Is it scary to think that Goldberg might have actually been carrying Brock Lesnar?
It's serious. Like I listen to that and I want to say, ooh, that take's too hot. I can't handle it. But you're right. I think Goldberg and the Goldberg style of match was carrying Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, I mean, wow. it really made Lesnar matches exciting for a few months. It was pretty bizarre.
What world are we living in, man?
It's a dark timeline we live in these days.
It truly is. But Jake, even in the darkest timeline, there's happiness. What's making you happy in wrestling this week?
I am really looking forward to you know, New Japan kind of getting back in the swing of things. I've been kind of catching up with the a few matches here and there on New Japan World. And it's kind of getting to towards the end of the year when things really start ramping up over there. So I'm excited for some quality wrestling. I think it's close on the horizon now. So as we head towards the new year, I think we're going to see some quality matches kind of creep back onto that video on demand.
I mean, just getting another Tanahashi versus Ibushi match is huge. Making me happy outside of wrestling, Star Wars trailer, obvi. Inside of wrestling, I'm going to say just the communal experience of watching wrestling in a movie theater full of people this past week, watching the Lucha Underground season finale in a theater where the seats moved. I was telling you a little bit about it before we started, but I've never watched a wrestling show where my seat shook every time someone got slammed. There were fans on the walls blowing at us. Fog came from the screen and air cannons shot like into my ear and water shot up towards my face. It was a sensory experience. And while Lucha Underground hasn't been my favorite thing for a long while, I definitely appreciated the invitation to do this and just the chance to get to go and watch it. And it being the Ultima Lucha 3 Part 4 being the only episode of Lucha Underground I watched all year, it was pretty fun. It was nice to go back into that.
It sounded like quite the experience. I don't think you're ever going to quite get to do that again. Maybe
not. WrestleMania is not going to be broadcast in a movie theater with the seats set up to move with every, like, to twirl you around with each thing that happens.
I don't believe so, but maybe you could just get your hair really wet and then that would simulate the entrance themes of everybody in WWE. Whose hair is the wettest? We could find out tonight.
Actually, that might be a more interesting pay-per-view than TLC.
It could. It
really
could.
With that, Jake, I will talk to you next week, man.
Take her easy.
Thank you for listening to this edition of the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast. For more, please subscribe to this podcast in Apple Podcasts, leave us a rating and a review, show us that you appreciate us, and if you want even more content, check out ProWrestling.net's membership option.